with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He is an author, obviously, and an optometrist. He's a pioneer in the fields of light, vision, and consciousness, and he's the author of Light, Medicine of the Future, and Take Off Your Glasses and See. Today, we're here to talk about his latest book, Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And he's developed numerous light and vision therapy instruments, including the first FDA-cleared medical device to significantly improve visual performance. So welcome to the show, Dr. Lieberman.
It is a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you for joining us. I'm really excited to hear all about this. I've read your book and it was very enlightening. And you actually experienced many years ago, early on in your career, you experienced an improvement in your vision that actually has stayed with you during a meditation. Would you mind sharing a little bit about how that happened?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, let me give you a little bit of background. When I went into practice in 1973, I immediately became aware of something startling. Everyone's eyes are continually getting worse. And people come into their vision specialist office, whether they be an optometrist or ophthalmologist, and usually their complaints are similar. They can't see well. And they're given a prescription that immediately allows them to see better, so they get immediate gratification. But within a short period of time, they notice that they're sort of addicted to those glasses. They used to be able to see somewhat without any glasses. Now, when they remove their glasses, their eyesight is really poor. And each year they go back with the same complaint, I can't see very well. And each year they're given a stronger version of what they were given the year before. I saw this and I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. If a problem continues to get worse, the solution cannot possibly be the solution. So I began experimenting with myself in 1973, since I had been wearing glasses for years and couldn't see well without them. I wanted to see, is it possible to reduce my dependency upon glasses? Is it possible to prevent vision deterioration, to reduce rather than increase the strength of my prescription? And I experimented with many different things, and they all seemed to help to some degree. But I seemed to be at an impasse. I couldn't get too much further. And then one day in 1976, I, at the time, was an individual that meditated daily. I sat down, I took my glasses off on this particular Sunday, and I sat to meditate. Somewhere in the midst of my meditation, I had a rather profound experience. Today, they would probably term it an out-of-body experience. But at the time, I had never heard of that expression. All I knew is that I seemed to be aware of myself meditating, almost as though Jacob, the physical being Jacob, was sitting and meditating, and something was aware of him or observing him. And whatever was observing him, everything seemed to be clear, quiet, and peaceful. And all I know is when I came out of this experience, my eyesight was crystal clear. Now, that was rather astonishing because I was trained both as an optometrist and I'm also a vision scientist. I went to my office, I examined my eyesight, and I could read 300% better. However, when I examined my eyes to see what, if anything, had occurred to my prescription, I realized that my eyes had not changed at all. Something was seeing 300% better. However, my eyes hadn't changed. The prescription for my eyeglasses was the same. And the only conclusion that I could come to is that we don't see with our eyes. And that there is something else that is happening there that has to do with the process of seeing that I was never aware of before. And so that set me up on a journey of trying to uncover what is the source of our seeing, what is it within our humanity that is noticing everything that's going on. It's now been 42 years since that experience. I'm 70 years old now, and I've never worn glasses since that day, for distance or for reading. And my eyesight has remained excellent, even though my eye doctors can't believe it, even though they see me every year. So that was the beginning of something rather profound for me, which is looking at what's going on, what's the source of our seeing, where, if we can uncover what the source of our seeing is, we can actually uncover something, that perhaps we are not the body, and perhaps we are not even what we call our mind. Maybe there's something else going on, and I believe that something else is the key to our wellness and our contentment in life, and that is what this book, Luminous Life, is about. What I have uncovered in all these years. In fact, it was so profound for me that I actually stopped practicing more than 30 years ago because I felt so moved to share what I had uncovered with the world. And this is what I have been doing ever since.
Thank you, Jacob. Now, You talked about your improvement in eyesight, and that is amazing enough as it is. If anyone wants to improve their eyesight, there are some exercises in the book. But Luminous Life isn't just about improving your eyesight. It's also about improving your vision and your intuition. Can you tell us what you mean by the difference between eyesight and vision?
Well, you know, eyesight simply is the ability to, for the eye to interact with light, and for us to, for instance, be able to read something across the room or see something. Vision has to do with how we respond to this incoming information that we call light. How does that light literally traverse our being and guide our lives? So when they say they are a person of great vision, they are a visionary, or when we say I see, we're not talking about reading the eye chart. We're talking about the ability to see beyond the physical realm, to be able to notice not so much what we're looking for, but to notice what is looking for us. Because in actuality, our entire life's journey is being guided, which is exactly what occurs within the life of animals and also within the life of plants. Everyone knows, for instance, that a plant's life revolves around their interrelationship with light, and that light guides their entire growth and development. Most people, however, are totally unaware of the fact that this is happening for all living things, animals, plants, and human beings. And when we begin to recognize not only that our lives are being guided, but there is a scientific fundamental basis for it, all of a sudden something in us can begin to relax. And all the habitual doing that we have been indoctrinated and conditioned to believe that we have to do, and all the habitual thinking and trying to figure things out, can begin to relax, and we can begin to allow the process of that guidance to actually become evident in our lives, which is incredibly miraculous.
Well, I would like to be able to do that. I'd like to be able to stop all the forceful doing, and that even if I have a day off, like, I don't know what to do with myself.
So let's talk about that for a second. At night, there is a certain point where your body gets tired. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to rock yourself to sleep. Something just guides you into the bedroom. You get under the covers. You fall asleep. In the morning, whether you have your alarm clock on or not, something awakens you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it awakens you when the light comes up. And then something takes you to the bathroom if you need to use the bathroom, or takes you to the refrigerator if there's a sense of hunger. But you don't have to think about whether I have to go to the bathroom. You don't have to think about, am I hungry or not? Something just knows. Throughout the day, something is breathing us. We do not even breathe on our own. Something pumps our heart. Something regulates our blood pressure, our blood sugar, our muscle tensions, all the release of hormones and when they are released. All of that occurs by itself. Now, while that's happening inside of our body, and we have absolutely no control of that, all of that is auto-regulated, self-activating, self-regulating. At the same period of time, you look out at Mother Nature and you realize the planets effortlessly seem to be revolving around the sun. The weather changes. The seasons change, the oceans move, the planets are moving around the sun, and all of this is happening by itself. So there's nothing for us to do about the running of our bodies. There's nothing to do about the running of Mother Nature. And then throughout the day, something keeps catching our attention. So something wakes us up. Then all of a sudden, what enters our awareness, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Then something enters our awareness of there's a little dryness in our mouth. So something moves us to the sink. We brush our teeth. We rinse off our face, or we take a shower. Then we come out of that. And something knows we have to get dressed. We get dressed. Then you make coffee or tea or breakfast. Then you sit down at your computer and an email comes up and something automatically responds to it. You get a bill in the mail. Something automatically pays for it. I guess what I'm saying is, if you notice what's catching your eye, you will notice that throughout the day and throughout the night, we are continually receiving subtle signals that move us in a certain direction in order to fulfill our reason for being and to fulfill whatever it is that needs to be done. And it is occurring by itself. We would have to actually work against that flow to not allow what needs to be done to be done. And we've been led to believe that we're driving the car of life and that we're making decisions all day long and we're running life according to our choices. But when you actually look at the functioning of the brain, you uncover something really fascinating. When we think we've made a choice, if you're monitoring the brain, you notice that 7 to 10 seconds before we're aware of consciously saying, I want chocolate instead of vanilla, 7 to 10 seconds before that, which is enormous amount of time in brain time, 7 to 10 seconds before that, something already knows we're going to have chocolate, and the brain is already preparing itself for that experience. So what I'm sharing with you is this habit that we're all in of constantly thinking ahead, because we are sure that we have to decide, we have to choose, we have to resolve the issues. We've been conditioned to believe that, but that's not actually what's going on. And so most of the stress that we experience in life is not the stress of getting sick occasionally, that happens to all of us, of not losing loved ones, that happens to all of us, not getting nervous if we have less money than we think we should, that happens to all of us, not feeling brokenhearted if a relationship completes itself, that happens to all of us. But then there's a stress level way beyond that that has nothing to do with the stresses that are part and parcel of the experience called life. There is stress that is self-generated because the reality of life does not at all match with the mentality of our minds. In other words, our ideas about life do not actually connect up with what's happening in life. What's happening in life is called natural, and we're living according to something called normal. And most of normal is totally unnatural. And so you look around the world and you see how much stress we have. We have all this amazing technology, new medical things for healing, discovering things every day, and yet we have more stress, more discontent, and more disease than we've ever had, and it's occurring to younger and younger and younger individuals. So it's time for us to really examine what is the truth about all of this? Because the truth could actually set us free. And the truth is actually something different than our ideas and beliefs. So that's a lot of the book, is really an underlying fundamental understanding of the workings of life, not as some new hypothesis or some new theory, but something that is a fundamental truth, something that you can take to the bank, as we say. It's for real. It's not something that's going to last for a week or two and then change again. So I'm hoping that this book can share truth beyond opinion and hopefully become a source of inspiration for people to begin looking at their lives and recognizing that there's something much more available to them.
Thank you, Dr. Lieberman. It's time for a break. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Timber Concerts presents the return of Flemish eye recording artist Preoccupations on Wednesday, May 9th at the Astoria. Preoccupations are touring in support of their latest album, New Material, which is available now. You can get tickets and more information at preoccupationsband.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity. I'm Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He's the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. So, Jacob, you were talking about how we go through this process where our body breathes for us. Our nature takes care of so many things, and we just kind of instinctively know the next step of when we need to sleep, when we need to wake up. And then you mentioned getting up in the morning and sitting at your computer and seeing an email. Now, I'm wondering if you can tell us the difference between following what comes next and what catches our eye is the phrase that you're using. And also the difference between that and following habit. Because I know if I get up in the morning and I don't use my willpower, I'll just be on Facebook and YouTube and playing around all day and getting nothing done. I won't eat. I won't take care of myself. Won't shower. I have to actively stop myself from getting sucked into the internet.
Yeah. It's called addiction, and it's designed to do that. But it's not willpower that gets you up. It's awareness. You have to become aware of something for something to get on a different track. Awareness is, in fact, what's curative. When we see something and we become aware of it, then something moves us in a different direction. You know, there's nothing wrong with responding to emails. In the old days, before computers, people would write letters. You still had to respond. Or people would call you. You'd still want to respond by picking up the phone. Whether you're texting or whether you're emailing, some part of you is going to respond. But there's something more to life than what's virtual on the screen. You know, there are the sounds of nature, which cannot be simulated by earbuds. There is the fullness of our field of vision, which has nothing to do with looking at your cell phone with this tiny little screen. So your question was, how do we notice the difference between self-generated ideas and that guidance?
Yes.
The difference is, one comes from us and one comes to us. The one that comes from us often has a voice, a familiar voice associated with it. It's that internal conversation. The one that comes to us is totally silent. There is a knowing, a total clarity that we receive, but there's no talking. There's no voice. And the clarity just comes by itself all at once. It, like, something goes, you know, where did that come from? Now, often we say, oh, I had a great idea. Oh, no, we didn't. We became aware of something after it came to us. It did not originate within us. It literally came to us, inspiring movement in a certain direction so that we can bring forth whatever our reason is for being. So, first thing is to recognize that the guidance comes to us from the intelligence of life, and it slips into our awareness when we're not looking for it. There's no working for it. It's absolutely free of charge. Many years ago, Albert Einstein was being interviewed, and the journalist said to him, Mr. Einstein, how did you discover the theory of relativity? And Einstein giggled and he said, ah, that was easy. That came to me while I was playing piano. And that is, in fact, the way most discoveries, most epiphanies, most revelations come to us. They come in the middle of the night. They come when we're in the shower. They come when we're meditating. They don't occur because we spend hours after hours thinking about them, and then we finally figure it out. We are not the ones that figure out anything. We're the ones that are inspired to move in a certain direction, and then through that inspiration guides us to implement, bring it into the world. But the vision of it, that comes to us free of charge. And so how do you know the difference? Let's go a little deeper into that. When you experience the thing you call your mind chattering, are you aware what I'm talking about when
I say? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So when that's going on, how do you know what's going on?
How do I know what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm just aware. I notice it. I can sort
right.
of sense or hear, or I'm aware of the thoughts. Yeah.
So when the thinking is happening or the worrying is happening, you notice it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes I don't, but often, yes.
Often.
Yeah.
Who is it that's noticing it? You said, I notice it. So when you look at your television, you're noticing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the television?
No.
You're the noticer, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have this internal television in surround sound that you notice, but for some reason or other, you've been conditioned to believe that you are the activity of the mind, which you are not, rather than the noticer, that which is aware of it. So your question is a very important one, because that which is aware does not speak. It does not have any preferences. It does not make any choices. It does not have desire. It merely notices. The peace that's being noticed, that is what says, oh, should I do this or should I do that? Oh, that I'm going to intend to do this. Oh, I'm going to create this. Except that part that you're noticing doing that doesn't actually create. It's not actually a decision maker. It helps to implement what the intelligence of life, that noticer, brings forth to our awareness, because we must fulfill our reason for being here, whether it is to share a message, as I am sharing today, or to ask a question, as you are doing today, to bring forth something that hopefully will clarify a deeper issue. So each of us has a purpose, no different from a tree whose purpose is to create apples or pears or flowers. And that purpose is going to be fulfilled. Something guides that process. And what I'm sharing is that we, our essence, is that guiding force. Not the physical body that's moving and implementing the guidance that we're receiving.
Thank you, Dr. Lieberman. Now, I just want to clarify, you mentioned that each of us will fulfill our purpose, will be guided. Do you mean to say that each of us will fulfill our purpose when we are aware? Because it seems like a lot of us, our purpose now is driven by consumerism. It's driven by, I have to go to school and get a job and do this. And so is that sort of life our purpose, if that's what we're living, or is it different?
That's part of the journey of the awareness expansion. So many people are hypnotized by that world of consumerism. We have been so indoctrinated to believe that the chatter that we hear is us. That is who we are. So we say, this is my mind. You don't want to waste a mind. You want to choose properly. And then there's all kinds of techniques that are marketed really well to supposedly wake up or to have whatever you want in life. Very few of us actually ask the question, is that true? Does that process actually bring us to where it is that we're going? But regardless of what journey we are on, we get what we need to get. Sooner or later, something happens that awakens us and makes a correction back to get us on a slightly different course. Each of the experiences of life, even if consumerism is part of that, that consumerism will eventually bring us to a new understanding. Maybe it doesn't occur in this incarnation, and these are not words I often use, but perhaps our spirit or our awareness continues to evolve. I don't know exactly how that works. In many of the ancient spiritual writings, they speak about incarnations, that we keep being born again and again in order to finally have this awakening. Whether it occurs within a single lifetime, I don't know. I don't even know whether incarnations are actually a real thing. But I understand what you're saying, because many people that I've seen seem like the awareness they have, even at the time of their passing, it seems to me like there's something else there. So maybe there is truth to this this thing that people discuss called incarnation and so on. And, you know, in places like Tibet and so on, where people like the Dalai Lama are from and so on, these individuals, someone seems to know that they are the incarnation of someone before, and they do some very complex questioning of these young children to see if they know something about who they were before, and that's how they determine who the next Dalai Lama is, the next awoken one. So perhaps there is truth to that. I guess what I'm saying is, whatever is occurring in our life is part of our journey.
And is there, thank you, Dr. Lieberman. I'm just wondering if there's any way to intentionally speed that up, where if people are tired of being in that consumerism journey, but maybe they don't know a different way, what do they do? Just start meditating?
No. First of all, when we get tired, that literally awakens us to something, and we begin to see things in a slightly different way, because the conditions of life have gotten so severe, whether through physical illness or physical fatigue or lack of joy, that something wakes us up. And then what comes into our life is a journey, and the journey might be that we find ourselves interested in something like meditation or yoga or those things themselves are not something that's going to enlighten you. They're just the next step of the journey, but that does not require a doing. Literally, something awakens us, and there is a new awareness, and then we are inspired to move in a certain direction. So in terms of your question, what do we do? Nothing. And so you say, what do you mean? You mean I'm going to just hang out all day? Even if you wanted to hang out all day, eventually your body would get out of bed. You might sleep a little longer one day, but eventually something will pull you out of bed. No matter what you decide to do, you could decide, I'm going to stay in bed for the rest of my life. And maybe you'll do it for 2 days, but then something will get you out of bed. And what I'm sharing with you is that something will animate us in a certain direction for us to come to the next level of awareness in our lives. And it could be any number of things. Some people awaken and they find themselves involved in a 12-step program. Or they find themselves involved in meditating or eating differently or whatever. Those are just the stepping stones. We get stuck on them and then we say, oh, you know, everyone's got to be vegan or everyone needs to meditate or everyone that... No, each of these things are stepping stones, and the stepping stones are good, but we don't need to take the stones with us. That just makes life heavy. And the stones that are important for one of us may not be appropriate at all for another. So what I'm sharing is, in the East they say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when the teacher is ready, the student appears. What I'm sharing is that the intelligence of life knows precisely what we need, and it brings that forth. And it could be a book that catches our attention, or a speaker that we never expected to hear, but we happen to attend something, or we meet a person, and all of a sudden, they've touched something in our hearts. Or we hear an interview and something and says, oh my God, that just really rung a bell for me. So it's different for each of us. And all of these steps, journeys, whatever you want to call them, are equally valuable. There isn't a path that's good and another one that's not so good. It's just what is appropriate for each of us.
Thank you, Jacob. It's time for a break. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
An Evening in Damascus returns for its fourth year. Join us on July 31st as this fundraiser brings the soul of Syria to the heart of Vancouver with music, storytelling, dancing, wine, and food. All proceeds go to support queer Syrian refugees. For more information and tickets, visit eveningindamascus.com.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He is the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. So it sounds like what you're saying is that those of us who feel like it's time to change, we don't need to push it or force it, or because I find myself constantly asking, like, what do I do about this situation? Do I stay with this person? Do I take on another job? What do I do? What do I do? And it's exhausting.
Yes, you're right. It is exhausting. And, you know, you said a feeling. Where was that feeling? You don't know, do you?
No.
because it isn't anywhere. It's actually not a feeling. It's a knowing. And that knowing is this guidance I'm speaking about. And I'm not speaking about something metaphysical, okay? I'm speaking about something very, very real. All the cells of our body, just like the eyes in our head, have receptors. They have eyes that are sensitive to light. They can detect light, and they are designed to respond to it. And that detection and response is the way each of our cells modulate their internal function in order to continually upgrade our software so that we are in an appropriate relationship with life. In other words, light is continually upgrading the software of our humanity so that we come into a state of oneness, of harmony with life itself. And so you say, well, should I do this or should I do this? I promise you, at a certain point, something will know that. And the reason that we ask is because we're not far enough yet into the journey. We have been led to believe that we should trust our ideas rather than trust our absolute knowings. And that same feeling that brought you to a certain awareness, whether it's an intuition, an instinct, a flash that went on in your awareness, you will know. There will come a moment and it will occur all by itself. And that will be the right moment.
Thanks, Jacob. You mentioned earlier the difference between that knowing, that guidance, is that it's not a verbalized thought. It's a knowing.
Right. You see, when you say, I think, that doesn't mean I know. I think means I don't know. I'm not sure. All thoughts are not sure. So we speak about beliefs. Oh, that's just your belief system, or you need to change your beliefs. But if you put the word belief into a thesaurus, you will see that belief means the same as idea, thought, concept, theory, and many other words. When you look at the words that mean the opposite of belief, the antonyms, you quickly discover that one of the main words that means the opposite of belief is truth. So all of our thoughts are not truth. Let me repeat that again. Our thoughts, our beliefs, our concepts, our theories are all fine, but don't confuse them with truth. They are something temporary. If it's raining right now, I cannot say it will be raining forever. It's just raining right now. So it's raining right now. That's true. Will it continue to rain forever? That's not true. Truth is different than a momentary reality. truth is something that doesn't change. This is really important. Truth is something that does not change. So it's not something that changes because it's a new season. It's not the weather that's changing. It's not the clothes I'm going to wear today, which are different from tonight or tomorrow. Truth is something totally underlying. It just is. And that is what we're speaking about here. We're not talking about ideas right now. We're talking about fundamental truths to the workings of life. You know, a truth is the planets revolve around the sun. They always are revolving around the sun. The earth is always spinning on its axis. The earth is continually expanding and contracting. So is the solar system. So is the universe. So is every living thing. So is your body. It's not that you're breathing and that's what's causing that. That's part of that. But everything is doing that. So that's a fundamental truth. That rhythm of expansion and contraction is going on everywhere. So if you want your life to be in alignment with a fundamental truth, notice what in your life causes your breath to halt. Because in nature, that fundamental rhythm of expanding and contracting is continually moving. It never stops. But humans notice that something is holding their breath at times.
Mm.
So if you want to know whether your life is in alignment with this fundamental truth, start to notice this rhythm of your body expanding and contracting. Notice I didn't say breathe a certain way. Just notice the body expanding and contracting. And then you'll notice something. Every time thinking occurs and you identify as the thinker, because you're tuning into the thoughts, you notice the breathing halts. Every time you work hard on something, the breathing halts. Any efforting, the breathing halts. Any effort to control life, the breathing halts. Trying to create your own reality, the breathing halts. So, what I often share when I'm speaking publicly is I share, don't believe a word I say. But consider it. Experiment. Notice so you can uncover for yourself what is truth versus what is just something changing continually.
Thank you, Dr. Lieberman. We only have a few minutes left in the show. I wanted to quickly touch on the physical eyesight aspect, because you do have a couple of exercises in the book, and just that awareness that sometimes our eyes are seeing something and our brain, I think, if I'm explaining it correctly, is actually aiming at a different location than where our eyes are looking.
Essentially, our eyes, when something catches their attention, our eyes reflexively move toward the light that has called them. The eyes converge, they aim, they focus on what has called them, and then they move to the next thing that grabs their attention. Most of the time, when the eyes are moved towards something, the mind also focuses on it. So you think, I am looking, and just assume your eyes are aiming there. When I began looking at this experimentally, clinically, almost 45 years ago, I uncovered something fascinating. Most of the time, where we think we're looking, and when where our eyes are actually focused, are different. And so the eyes are looking at something, but the mind is focused in a slightly different place. That lack of congruency and coherence is related to the degree of presence that exists. If the mind and the eyes are not focused at the same place at the same time, it makes presence almost impossible. Very often, we're driving our car and we're thinking about going to play golf or something else. And that is the cause of all automobile accidents. We're not there. We're somewhere else. And now with the inventions of all the technology that run almost every facet of our life, people are looking and texting on their cell phones while they're driving their car. They're having conversation at dinner, and unbeknownst even to themselves, they're continually looking down to see, to check their emails. So we are going from a life of what is essential to a life that's very robotic. And that is creating a tremendous amount of dysfunction and distress in the world. And that dysfunction and distress will continue to grow until something occurs that all of a sudden we become aware of, and then the awareness starts moving in a slightly different direction. These problems that we are now seeing in relation to technology in the medical field are called side effects. These are the side effects of things that we create. And so it's important to notice that when we create things from the mind, almost always they have side effects. But when we are moved to uncover something, that natural part of life has few, if any, side effects.
Beautifully said, Dr. Lieberman. We are just about out of time, so I want to thank you so much for being with us. We have been speaking with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He is the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. His website is jacoblieberman.org. And I'm just wondering before we close the show, if there's anything else I feel like we could talk about this all day. I hope everyone picks up your book. I found it really valuable and I have so many more questions that we don't have time for. But I'm wondering if there's anything that you'd like to add before we close the show.
When we uncover that we are the observer rather than the observed, we fall in love with life. And when we fall in love with life, something profound occurs. There's a quieting. And we uncover that love is the answer, regardless the question. And our life becomes an expression of loveliness. Everything that we're involved in is something that is for the benefit of humanity. There's no losers. Everyone benefits because our life is guided by that which is integritous or one, that with which is ethical, that which is moved by our hearts rather than our thoughts.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lieberman. Again, the name of the book is Luminous Life, and you could find him at jacoblieberman.org. Thank you to Dr. Lieberman for being with us, and thank you for spending this hour with us. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste. Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
Member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Main Street at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Biltmore Cabaret, Red Cat Records, Lucky Comics, The Wallflower Modern Diner, Neptune Records, The Rag Machine, The Regional Assembly of Text, and so many more.
Join Team PowerSmart. Set an energy conservation target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/Team PowerSmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro PowerSmart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
A long time ago, in a city far, far away,
CITR
was born. In the decade ahead, America will be in space.
CITR
is already there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong had this to say about
CITR.
It's one small step for man.
So vote.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Herbert R. Tarlick, Chairman.
Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians! That's right! Russians, Ruskies, Communists! Communist. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.